Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ramble Reacts. Real Madrid sneak through to the semis, but Arsenal go out with a whimper. I'm Marcus Speller.
And I'm Vidushan Hantharaja.
Well, 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 Vidushan, it is a bad night for the English clubs in the Champions League. Both have gone out. There are no more English clubs left in the Champions League once again at the semi-final stage. I say once again, obviously Man City won it last year. We do have English representation, though, in the form of Jude Bellingham and Jadon Sancho. God bless them both. Fortunately, in either sides of the draw. So maybe they'll meet in the final and we can take some kind of moral victory. I don't know if that still works or not. But high drama, particularly at the Etihad. Manchester City 1, Real Madrid 1. That's where we start, of course. 4-4 on AG. In old money, Manchester City would have won it on golden goals. No, they would have won it on away goals, rather. I'm getting the goals mixed up. But that's out the window now. So Real Madrid won 4-3 on penalties. My goodness, Fish, was this a case of plucky old underdogs Real Madrid being a bit canny and a bit clever again, using all that lovely experience they have? Or was it a case they got a bit fortunate, they just had to be very stodgy, and Man City couldn't quite find it, and it was a bit of a smash and grab?
Well, you know, Real Madrid, 14 Champions League, well, European Cups. Yeah. House always wins, doesn't it? House always wins.
That's what we've come to expect with football.
Yeah. There is, you're right about the plucky underdogs thing, because it's strange seeing the white, or obviously they weren't in white, but they played like this last week, and again this week, the idea of Real Madrid playing on the counter, it's like, look, we just can't keep up with them.
Yeah.
And then they were countering to such a degree that they worked out probably about the third or fourth time they either Rodrigo or Vinicius decided to try and skin Kyle Walker that they can't do that.
No.
And then they probably worked out, right, if we go to penalties, he has to stay in the centre circle with the rest of them.
Indeed. Yeah, we'll nullify him. We'll nullify it that way, yeah. And we'll be able to, we won't be hurried by Phil Foden and all the other players, of course, trying to close the bed. I mean, look, it was an extraordinary game of football. Both teams have immense quality in there, particularly Manchester City, of course. But you're right, to see Real Madrid surrender possession like that and really play, I mean, it was like they were Roman soldiers, you know, with the old shields up and down and over their heads at times. You know, they were so compact, and 11 men behind the ball so often. You don't often see that, and that shows you the respect they have and the fear, quite frankly, of Manchester City. And Real Madrid going through, that is a huge boost for the other three teams in the competition, because Manchester City, and they're out, but I don't think anybody would disagree with this. Manchester City is still the best side in Europe for
my money. Without a doubt.
Without a doubt, of course. And it showed, and yet Real Madrid, it, just like in Jurassic Park, life finds a way. Real Madrid finds a way.
Old money finds a way. Yeah. To be fair, it was a very entertaining game because it was that weird thing where neither team tried to cancel out what the other team does well. Maybe Real Madrid to a point because they set themselves up quite deep, but they were operating on different sides of the pitch, but they were just going about it in their own way. It was, you know, however little Real Madrid had the ball, it was kind of confined to possession rather was confined to their best ball players. And whenever City had the ball and they were kind of trying to find these openings in, you know, Real Madrid's back line, there were moments where, you know, I thought Grealish played quite well. Obviously, Doku came on and did well replacing him. Foden was particularly busy. You know, Haaland aside, you could say that everyone kind of did their bit or what you'd expect of them. It just didn't quite work out. And it was hard to say that, you know, could Man City have done anything differently? Well, beyond get another goal. No, not really.
Kevin De Bruyne could have put that chance away, couldn't he?
Well, that was the one.
I mean, you look back at that now.
Yeah, but you kind of thought it at the time, really.
Well, I disagree. I didn't. I thought to myself, oh, that's annoying. They're now going to have to carve out another chance, or they may have to grind them down an extra time, but surely they're still going to find it. I thought they'd give them the old one too. When they score the equaliser, I thought the second one's going to come soon. And then when it doesn't, you think, oh, okay. I mean, again, the way the game took shape, Real Madrid played it pretty well in that they got their goal on the break. That's what they were set up to. Yeah. And then basically, 11 men behind the ball, push them out wide, and we'll surround Haaland in the centre and all the rest of it. You could see it. And you don't blame them for doing that. Look, they're through. I think that's it. With, you know, a little part of you thinks, come on, Madrid, you could try a little bit more here. But actually, it's a great lesson in stay in the tie. You stay in the tie, you've always got a chance. I know it's a daft thing to say. It seems bleeding obvious. But they knew if they just kept doing what they were doing and you had a little dash of luck in there, you're in the tie, you know, and you're alive. I mean, there was a moment, you know, I forget who it was galloping down the right, and that was the one you were sort of referencing when Kyle Walker snuffed him out, when Bellingham was square. And if he lifted his head up, he could have got it in there. You know, that would have been another kind of breakaway. But, you know, the fact that Real Madrid were all camped out so deep, but they were just pushed back by Man City. And yet, because of that, Man City didn't really create too much. They were reduced a lot of times with speculative long-range efforts.
Yeah, yeah. Which is why I you know, just to go back a couple of points, like it's why I think that De Bruyne miss on 82-83 minutes was so important, because actually the equaliser itself was very lucky. The way in which it falls to him, and also they didn't actually create too many clear-cut chances in the box,
No, they didn't.
And so when you get that, you're like, God, you've just got to be more clinical there. And of all the people you want it to fall to, I mean, Kevin De Bruyne is the guy, really. But
beautifully taken, yeah.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that you should credit, I suppose, specifically Ancelotti with, is the respect his players have for him, because those are big name players, and they're basically happy to just do shuttle runs for 120 minutes.
Yeah,
and that is a hard thing to instill in players who are so used to having the ball and want to express themselves in that way. But also reflected of the fact they're playing Man City, and you know, obviously there was a lot of luck involved. I don't think we can get away from that. And regardless of Real Madrid's history in the competition, you know, Man City will probably look at that game and think, generally don't know what more we could do. Maybe 117 charges, you know, but other than that, who knows what more we could have done. But yeah, like obviously a bit, you know, a lot of luck. And as you say, you know, the other three teams in the competition will be glad for Real Madrid's presence in it, which is a weird thing to say.
Yeah, indeed. It makes it more absurd, doesn't it? Yes, of course, I mean, the goal that Manchester City score, you know, that was perhaps the only time when the ball did drop for them, really. And on another day, Rudiger does get that away. But, I mean, it shows you the fine margins. But the fact is, though, yes, Real Madrid got luck in the sense that one of the ones that De Bruyne or whoever pings doesn't go in, which we see him do a lot in the Premier League, even, you know, in the Champions League as well. But that's it. They didn't manage to create many clear-cut chances because Real Madrid set their stall out in such a fashion. And it was, you know, the players were dead on their feet by the end of the game. They were, you could see they were absolutely...
Oh, but don't think I didn't notice when Bellingham was blowing out of his arse. Yeah. Don't think I wasn't worried.
Exactly, yeah.
Both the England boys scored their penalties, by the way. Just put that in the...
Yeah. Don't worry. Duly noted.
Yeah.
I mean, Real Madrid have played 8 extra times in the Champions League, which is the joint most. They've won 6 of the 8 they've played. Again, it shows you that experience, but the experience, when you say that those players really like playing for Ancelotti and they'll do the shuttle runs and all that for him, a lot of those players will remember what happened in the semi-final last year when they got absolutely hammered. So Ancelotti would have said, right, listen to me, lads. Listen, okay?
Have a puff on this and listen to me.
Exactly, yeah. We're all going to watch this fit. I know I said that at the time, forget about it and never think about this again. We're all going to have to go back to the real dark place and then we're going to come out and it'll be lighter than light because you need to have focus. You need to be so switched on. And it is incredible that, you know, a couple of players on yellows and so on, that the focus they had. I mean, Danny Carvajal, you know, he has Grealish to deal with, who I thought played pretty well, actually. And then Doku comes on. And you think to yourself, God, but now I know Doku did something which Grealish didn't really do in that. He just thought, you know what, I'm just going to skin him, get to the byline and smash it across, you know, and that's where the goal comes from.
Yeah.
Grealish, who I thought looked, you know, he did okay. He is a touch predictable, though. You just show him inside and then he will pass it back. But, I mean, that's the ball retention that Man City do, I think.
Yeah, he's more of a recycler, isn't he?
Yes, exactly.
They
not
actually,
retention, I recycle,
thought, yeah. Yeah, they I thought they went about it the right way when he was on and then they made the change and there was a change of tactic within that change. So, yeah, it all kind of... Again, yeah, it all kind of made... Everything kind of made sense. It's just, yeah, that's just how it goes.
What do you think of them taking off Erling Haaland? And bringing on, Alvarez. I mean, I sort of understand why they brought on young Julian, but Erling Haaland's only had 2 shots on target across the 2 games. You'd think to yourself that you would want him on the pitch if something was going to drop. You know, they didn't seem to be in danger of much going up the other end, I suppose. I suppose you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, I mean... You know, obviously an accomplished penalty taker as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, there was that. I suppose when, you know, if you look at it, when Haaland's playing in a game which is a bit more stretched, he's basically occupying 2 centre-backs, isn't he? Because of the stature of the bloke and the way he moves off the ball. When there's more space, he's basically not taking out. He's got one defender with him and he's got another defender looking over his shoulder, essentially. And when the game is more condensed in the final third, I suppose then it kind of doesn't matter that he's playing, does it? Because
but then if you are going to just put balls into the box at times, you know, there was a lot of crosses. Surely he's the most likely candidate to get on the end of one of them.
I mean, but they did try that to a point, didn't they?
Well, I suppose maybe Guardiola's thinking, well, we're going to try something different now.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, like it's, you know, you're chasing a goal and the most productive striker in the last, 3 years is, well, you know, like one of the most productive strikers, if you throw Kane in there, over the last 3 years, including this season, you kind of, logic dictates that you'd leave him on. Mm. But yeah, very strange, very strange. Obviously, there's a lot been said recently about his, you know, how poor his build-up is, or rather his build-up play and stuff like that. I suppose he didn't necessarily need that today, did he?
No.
Because there was so much happening around him. He didn't need an extra cook. He needed something to eat. Is that a thing? Yeah. He needs something to eat.
A meal, if someone's not there to eat it, it's pointless serving up.
Exactly,
a meal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you do need that. But you mentioned he's an accomplished penalty taker. I mean, they could have done with him, I suppose. Although the man who replaced him, Alvarez, obviously scored and knows his way around shootouts, being an Argentinian international player. Let's talk about the penalties then. So it goes to pens, and you think, well, it's a tough one to call because both have got quality in there. Both have got, both have got decent keepers. I mean, of course, in Real Madrid's goal, they've got, at times, their third choice keeper.
Yeah.
Who's there? Courtois is injured. Kepa was on the bench for this game, who's been deputising for Courtois. But in he goes. And, it's him and some sort of strange penalty taking that takes them through. I mean, I want to go straight to Bernardo Silva, quite frankly.
Yeah.
This is what... See, people, that's a strange penalty. That's what happens when you put it down the middle, but you don't try to convince the goalkeeper that you're not going to put it down the middle, you see? Because how many times do we see penalties get whacked down the middle? Or not even whacked. You see Harry Kane take one or two, where it's that side foot where it looks like you're going to open your body, or you're going to whip it or stick it to the keeper's left. And you actually then side foot it down the middle and you completely fool him. Bernardo Silva, maybe because he was waiting for his own fans to give him the ball, I don't know. But it looks like he's like, right, put the ball down. I'll just run up and just sort of, he'll probably dive, won't he? Oh, actually. And then it looks utterly absurd.
Yeah, but to score a penalty down the middle, you need the back catalogue of hitting the corners, don't you? So when Harry Kane does it, there's a sense of like, right, where's he scored most of his penalties? Mm. He scores them mostly to the keeper's right, feigning to go, kind of closing himself off at the last minute. Which means that you give, basically, the keeper has to commit one way or the other, which is what opens up the middle. Mm. Whereas someone like Bernardo Silva, doesn't necessarily have a back catalogue of penalties. Mm-hmm. It's just like, yeah, you need a bit more kidology here. Like, you really need to sell this.
Yeah, which is what I don't think he did. I think he seemed to be in a rush. And I think, I mean, maybe that came into it because he was waiting so long. Maybe I'm looking into it. I don't know.
But I don't think he was waiting. I think you're right. It's pressure. I mean, it's also what happens when you leave your controller dormant for a penalty and it just comes up and kicks you down the middle.
It was a bit like that. Yeah. That's such a good sale. Yeah, you tell your mate, pause it, I'm going out, I'm just nipping to the loo. And you walk back in and you just see that one and you knobhead. Yeah. You knobhead. That's exactly what's happened. But then, on the sort of flip side of that, when you say, obviously, the two English boys who scored, Foden and Bellingham, neither were brilliant penalties. I'd like to think Bellingham was composed and really sold the other corner to
He was looking at Edison, which made me think he sold it. Yeah.
So I think that, whereas Foden wasn't. Foden just went up, and it depends which angle you look from, which is why I always like to see the replay from over the shoulder of the taker.
Yeah.
Because that's when you really see what they were doing. So it looked like he walked up and just whacked it in the corner. Whereas actually his was fairly nonchalant and it wasn't really that far in the corner. If the keeper had guessed right, then he would have gone there. But the fact is he scored. So we won't sort of focus too much on that. But
the thing to mention here about mentality that we talked about with Real Madrid is they missed the first penalty. Like Luka Modric, of all people, missed the first penalty.
That's right, yeah.
And that, I actually thought that was a killer. Mm. I thought that was a moment, actually, because someone with all that experience who's seen and done the things that he's done and seen, he just thought, right, this is a banker. So you're off the mark here.
Yeah.
That's saved, and you're like, wow, okay.
Which is why the Bernardo Silva takes the stuffing out of them, the Bernardo Silva penalty.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Potentially, again, it's that strange kind of, oh, what? And then they're kind of sort of playing catch up from there, and then Antonio Rudiger, of all people, hammers home the winning penalty after Edison had beautifully slotted his way. I mean, talk about nonchalant. He walked up and thought, oh, I better just stroke this in the corner and hurry up and I'll try and save the next one. It was incredible stuff from him.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends.
For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my tube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
Real Madrid now face Bayern Munich in the semi-final. I mean, it is a classic Champions League tie. And yet, there does seem to be... I think it's just because Man City have gone out, really. I don't think I'm surprised to see Bayern in the semi-final, despite them not really doing that well in the league this season. I think the shock is Man City going out, really. For me.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, at the start of the season when Bayern Munich signed Harry Kane, certainly to my mind, I was like, this feels like a missing piece of a Champions League run.
But there was another missing piece.
Another
missing piece.
What was his name?
In the shape of Eric Dier.
There he is. Man of the match tonight, I think.
Get him on plane. Get him on plane.
Yeah. Let him go in the crowd and fight whoever he wants. He's earned that tonight. Get in there.
I tell you what, let's
can all over someone's face.
Oh dear. Bayern 1, Arsenal 0, 3-2 on aggregate. I mean, a predictable result and a predictable performance really from Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, this feels like the match that we can really, really dissect, because I think there was, you know, there was a point in that first half, maybe about halfway through the first half, so like 23, 24 minutes, when Bayern started kicking it up and you're like, right, okay, you know, Arsenal have had their bit with it. It's been quite a bitty game in midfield, not much space for either team to really work with. But then Bayern kind of broke through and getting a few things. And you kind of thought, well, actually, yeah, so Arsenal will get their turn. Because, you know, sometimes in those kind of ties, you kind of have it and give it back. And there's almost an exchange of pressure periods, really. It's certainly because of the quality of ball players on the field as well. Yeah, yeah. And then the second half basically played out exactly like the Villa game on the weekend, Arsenal seemed just drained. And Bayern Munich slowly were like, ooh, hold on, we can step forward a bit more here, step forward a bit more.
Yeah.
And suddenly, like, Konrad Lohme, who had a brilliant game, is just, like, you know, tearing through midfield on his own. Really strange. Like, and I think that's probably what's going to disappoint Arsenal fans the most, is the predictability of it.
Yeah, exactly.
They've been excellent, you know, for most of the season.
Yeah. What did you think of Arteta's tactics? We talk about Real Madrid kind of playing as a unit and being solid and, you know, making sure the centre of the pitch and in front of their box is there's no gaps. You can understand that. Did you feel, some were saying that Arteta was too kind of obsessed with trying to just get control and actually didn't really think about how to, well, score any goals, you know, to the detriment of having a bit of quality up top and a bit of the sort of, I don't know, I say swashbuckling, maybe that's a bit over the top, but having a bit of the attacking oomph that we've seen Arsenal produce this season?
I don't know. I didn't really see that. I think you kind of, when you say control, I immediately think of Jorginho. But he played, you know, Martinelli started out wide left and clearly had a remit to, you know, run at Kimmich. And there were a couple of times he did all right. And I suppose mostly there was, you know, certainly on his side, he was more worried about Leroy Sané. And similarly, you know, Saka was doing as much as he could to help out Tommy.
But do you think he was worried about what happened in the first leg when Bayern, a number of times in that first half in at the Emirates, they broke through quite easily? which led to a couple of goals. Do you think Arteta was like, right, you know, I was talking about Real Madrid just staying in the tie. If you stay in the tie, you've got a chance. Do you think he was too focused on that and seeing, okay, we'll stay in the tie, we'll make sure that we just lock it down and then hope for something? We just kind of hope that our quality was kind of come through rather than trying to formulate a plan of, right, we go in there and we're going to bloody win this and this is how we're going to win it.
I don't know. You know what? I don't know. I don't think so, really. Because, well, actually, you know, because you've mentioned the first leg, they lost this tie in the first leg. There's no doubt about that. They let Bayern Munich straight back into it. But, yeah, I didn't get that impression today watching them. What I did see was a side who just look a bit knackered. And it kind of reiterates that, you know, Arteta is... spent a lot of money putting together what looks on paper, you know, a good squad, a very good squad. Mm. But evidently, like, there's, you know, he trusts so few of them.
Yeah.
Which is fine, you know, managers do that all the time. But there comes, you know, we're in a situation now where we're in April, they've tailed off because people look knackered, not least Saka in particular. And I think what is interesting about that is you look, you kind of go through, you think back to various points in the season where he's kept his key players on for unnecessarily so, like when games have been won, mm-hmm. you know, after like 70 minutes and keeping them on, Saka in particular.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's important to say that's something that Arsenal fans were perceptive of at the time. This isn't just them thinking, well, everyone looks knackered and God, we should have rotated a bit more. This was something that, you know, people were talking about back in, you know, October, November time. Mm-hmm. Looking ahead to these kind of nights when you really need everyone, you know, as close to top form as possible. I actually think that, you know, probably Bayern Munich just did a number on them, really. I think, you know, we talk about the midfield thing, and I think it's important to know that Musiala, Lima, and Goretzka, the three of those, they didn't start on the weekend, in part because of the situation in the league. Yeah. And they looked much better for it.
Yeah. I think that's it. I think if you're an Arsenal fan now, you would feel really deflated. There was the temptation after the Villa game to feel that, of course, in the manner of the performance and how the game finished and Villa, you know, really taking it to them in the second half and looking a bit better. And you think, okay, things can happen like that in a season. You know, you can have the odd blip, you know, Villa are a good side, blah, 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 blah. When this happened, I mean, like Arsenal, I thought you probably shaded it in the first half. And again, they are playing against Bayern Munich, who, yes, they're not. It's not a vintage Bayern side, and you know, they're not. You know, they're going to finish second at best in the Bundesliga this season for the first time. Goodness knows in how long. But it's still a big, a huge game. But they did go out with a whimper ultimately, and when Bayern score. Arsenal never looked like... I think that's the thing that would drive me mad if I was an Arsenal fan. It's like, it's the inevitability of it. It just was never going to happen. With Manchester City, you thought, right to the end, come on, they've got a chance here. And obviously, far more often than not, that does happen. And that is a complete anomaly. It's the predictability of it and the same old feeling. And you look at what Arteta's done with this Arsenal side. He's done a great job, absolutely. But I just wonder, and perhaps with that point about, you say, with their starting 11 and maybe three or four other subs.
Yeah.
It's, you know, has he taken this as far as he can? Does he need to think of new ideas? Or do they need quite a lot of cash now injected into the squad? Because you know what it's like. You look at the sides around him, you know, how much money, you know, Bayern don't normally spend the kind of Premier League type money, but they did on Harry Kane. Yeah. You know, we know the millions that Real Madrid have splurged over the years. You look at the other side of the draw, you know, Paris Saint-Germain as well. You go back to the Premier League, Manchester City. I know Liverpool haven't spent as much as Manchester City, as they often like to remind everybody, but they've spent a fair few quid. And I know Arsenal have as well, but I just, you know, Stan Kroenke was apparently at the match this evening as well. Well, Stan, if you're listening, you know what you've got to do. You know, and why are you listening, for crying out loud? Get in touch with us.
Hello, Stan.
Yeah. that's Vish, Dan. I mean, Arteta said in his post-match, we have not been in this position for 14 years. There is a reason for it. We want to do everything fast forward, super quick. Those margins, sometimes they come from something else that we don't have yet. So, you know, if we're aware... he's well aware, if you see what
yeah,
I mean. And
yeah.
and again, I don't want to stick the boot in too much because he's right. You know, they've gone far in the Champions League. I don't think they've been hugely convincing in the Champions League, but they've got there to the quarterfinals, and they've only just gone out to a you know a decent side and a regular. So it will be interesting to see if they can pick it up in the league, still all to play for, and then. But I don't want to start saying to Arsenal fans, well, what about what can they do next season? You think, no, hang on. What about the here and now?
Yeah, yeah. And I think a lot of them would feel like that, surely, because yeah, as you say, the title race isn't over. Okay, you know, it's City and now they can actually put their entire concentration into it after, you know, ticking off another FA Cup final when they win this weekend.
Still got to go to the college.
Well, there's that as well. But I suppose you know, to go on the micro and macro aspects of what you were saying about Arsenal mm-hmm. and feeling a bit dejected, the way they were fumbling around at the end there was like was tough to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the quickly taken free kick. I was a fan of it, and then I thought, could they have, you know, given it to Odegaard to have a go, and yeah. then, you know, but that's me being wise after the event. I thought, you know, they made the right choice to play it quickly to Ben White. But then the corner, like Saka beat the first man.
Yeah, I know. Arsenal have looked naive in the latter stages of competitions and obviously last season in the latter stages of the league. And when Arsenal look naive, they look really naive. I don't know if you could say that about other teams so much. It seems to be quite obvious with Arsenal.
Well, it's not quite ingrained, is it? And I suppose that's part of it. You know, you mentioned that they might need a lot of money to, you know, to improve their squad. Essentially, improve the floor, isn't it? You're not necessarily raising... I mean, obviously, a couple of players could raise the ceiling, but you kind of want to raise the floor so your base level is higher than it is.
Options off the bench. More options off the bench,
yeah, exactly,
for example.
Yeah. I mean, and that comes through time, doesn't it? Because you end up, you know, bringing players in, they're not all going to be, you know, there'll be some duds in there. Mm-hmm. You know, like Liverpool's transfer activity over the last 5 years, it's not like it's been success after success after success. Mm-hmm. And you'd argue that actually it's been the younger players that have come through from their academy, which have covered for the areas where they've, you know, they've probably had one dud too many, such as midfield. But it comes, doesn't it, from like, years and cycles of like transfer windows, doesn't it? It kind of, you know, it's like every transfer window is a rinse, isn't it? And slow you get to the, I suppose, to the squad you want. But it's just, I suppose, it's the progress has been quick, and that's the impressive part of it. Yeah. And you know, you mentioned there about, does Arteta need to do something different? Well, like, I suppose you've got to remember, he's learning as well, isn't he?
Yeah,
He's learning on the job.
Well, that's right, yeah. I think that you don't want to be too harsh because he's done. He's doing a fantastic job. I just think that for Arsenal fans, it is that feeling of deja vu. And I just wonder if in the current iteration of this squad, and obviously every transfer window, they're always going to bring in new players and one or two will leave. Is this the ceiling right now? Now, who knows? They could go on to win the Premier League, but the smart money would be on Manchester City now. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But I am talking about one of the best club sides we've ever seen in England. You know, so again, I'm reluctant to kind of be too harsh, but I just feel that frustration from Arsenal fans. I think, you know, we were, you know, doing the podcast earlier today. Obviously, Jim was on there. We were talking after and so on. And I just want to see him happy. It's all I want.
Yeah, I only want to see Jim happy.
Yeah, what about Arsenal Fan TV? You want to see them happy?
I don't think they're still going, are they?
They're AF TV now. That's why you update your search engine. You know what you're putting in there.
It's hard, isn't it? Because you think of like other Arsenal fans, and you've got two choices: one who's, you know, a monumental bellend, and the other who got taken care of by American Special Forces. So, you, and that's it. Like, those are the only two that spring to mind, other than Jim. But I just want Jim to be happy, and any other nice Arsenal fans.
I thought you were talking about when you started that. I thought,
well, you know, one of the people I'm talking about. Yeah. Well, you know both of them now.
I definitely know both of them. Yeah. One of them's a Peruvian player. So, yeah, ay, dearie me. Have we anyone checked on Piers Morgan, by the way? Have you seen his Twitter output, or just, you know, maybe something to treat ourselves to after the show? Well, look, when all said and done, it is Real Madrid versus Bayern Munich and Paris Saint-Germain versus Borussia Dortmund, four teams that we are very familiar with in the Champions League. Dortmund would be the one, I think, that few would have fancied going this far in the tournament. And when I say few, that's probably quite generous. They've not been particularly good in the Bundesliga this season.
Well, everyone was focused on the other side of the draw, weren't they?
Well, they were.
So, yeah.
But I tell you what, though, there were 32 goals in this season's Champions League quarterfinals, the most goals scored at this stage in any season in the competition. I think we can say that scrapping away goals has been a success.
Yeah, I mean, like the impulse when they made that decision was, "Oh, what about the entertainment?" And I think that's been disproved comfortably.
Well, really. I thought, what about the smaller teams? Now, like I say, nobody can make an argument for Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, and Paris Saint Germain. You can even include Dortmund in that being small teams. But
we are talking about the Champions League, aren't we?
We are talking about this.
You know, these are like the cream of the crop in their country who come to play in this tournament.
Yeah, it's not like but I think
we're still not even really talking about small teams.
We're not, no, like, but. One of the reasons for keeping away goals is because that a smaller team can sneak through on away goals. You know, basically to take away all the kind of any elements of slight chaos that can creep in, that is always going to be better for the bigger teams. More substitutes, better for the bigger teams with the bigger squad. All these kind of things. 3 points for a win. You know, you want to go back all the way, and so on. So but here we are. The holders are out. Dortmund are in the semi-final. The plucky underdogs, Real Madrid. The lovable Paris Saint-Germain. They're all there. They're all there. I like to just point out that there are three non-Super League originals in that final four, which does seem quite odd to think that Bayern and Paris Saint-Germain, PSG in particular, weren't asked. But there we are. I shouldn't hark back.
Do you think tomorrow they're all gonna? Everyone who's got knocked out is gonna get an email from Juventus, like,
"Oh yeah,
question mark?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
How about now?
We'll let you have your away goals if you want.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I who do you fancy for it then, Vish? That's the big question. Are we going to see Harry and Eric at Wembley? No less in the final.
I would genuinely fucking love that.
Do you know what I mean? Killing Mbappe, mugging him off in the final. That'd be awful, wouldn't it?
Generally, it'd be... And not, like, generally for Eric Dier. Yeah. That'd be amazing.
What I'd love is... I'd love to see Harry... This is what football does to you. Here I am, getting all starry-eyed at the thought of Bayern Munich winning the Champions League.
At least you're... At least, you know, the team you support... Yeah. They've brought you a lot of joy. I have to find joy in Bayern Munich.
What, Fulham have brought me a lot of joy? I think you've seen more cup wins with Manchester United.
No, this season I'm saying.
Oh, I see what you mean. What?
Obviously I don't mean overall. Yeah. Are you mad?
Mind you, Fulham have won a league title much more recently than Manchester United, I suppose. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that meant a lot to you. Yeah.
Well, it really did, actually.
Yeah.
You absolute dickhead. How dare you? What are Portsmouth celebrating for? Who cares? Not a major trophy.
Exactly, yeah. Lovely drone shot, by the way, wasn't it?
There we are. We smoked
him
out.
That's how they
got
rid of that Arsenal fan.
Is that what it is?
That's how they found him, yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah. So, go on then. Who do you fancy for it? Harry Kane and Eric Dier or Jadon Sancho?
That would be lovely as well. It would be lovely. Jeez.
Superb.
You know what would be quite cool?
Go on.
All the matchups would be quite cool, but imagine Dortmund-Real in the final as well.
Mm. Why Jude? That one?
Well, Jude.
Jude. Oh, against his old team, yeah. Do you know what I really did? Much like Jude Bellingham, I'd forgotten that he was there.
I thought you disbanded when I left. What are you still doing here?
After you buggered up the league on the last day when I couldn't play, I thought you guys had shamefully retired, the badge and everything. But nice to see you again.
No, I mean, but seriously, I reckon Bayern Munich, yeah.
You go for Bayern.
I kind of fancied them for it, especially given that because Leverkusen have won the league so early.
Yeah, They can, yeah.
They can, Bayern Munich can do what they normally do when they win the title this time and they're through to the last stages and just, you know, rest a few players. So,
mind you, Real Madrid could win the league quite early and then they could rest players as well. I mean, it wouldn't be as early as what's happened in Germany, of course, but you never... I think we can all agree that we don't want Paris Saint-Germain to win it.
But we want them to get to the final.
Yeah. I don't know.
This is a more likeable... Is it?
It's so confusing. So confusing. There we are, everybody. That's what football do to you. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Do join us on Friday for the preview show, where we will also be reacting to a Thursday night packed with Europa League and Europa Conference League action. Can Liverpool and West Ham turn it around? It's unlikely. It is unlikely. But then it was unlikely Real Madrid were going to go through against Man City, but they bloody well did it. In the meantime, do follow us on X, that used to be called Twitter, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube. At Football Ramble and follow us on Spotify. Lovely chatting to you, Vish. Stay safe, go well, and we'll see you on Friday, everybody.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.